Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 38. What if you were delivered by the Holy Ghost?
Well, my degree's in biology, and I worked in a laboratory. Now I work with data, but before I worked in a laboratory as a biochemist. Just one of the science nerdy people who like to game, and I like my cat. I'm not really that lively. I hadn't been feeling well. I've just been feeling really run down, just really just tired all the time, just really drained, just like something was really weighing heavy on me. Back then, it was like about 15 years ago. They thought maybe it was, you know, chronic fatigue. They didn't know. A lot of things are very mysterious about that kind of thing. Well, you would wake up tired all the time. It was like feeling just weighed down, like you really couldn't move. And so I thought something was wrong with me because I still prayed. But every time I prayed, it would lighten up a little bit. So it was weird. So I started taking vitamins, and I started doing this, and I started doing that, but nothing was working. So when I just went to visit some friends, and they were white. I'm white, and they go to a black Pentecostal church. And I thought, oh, new experience. So I was like, thought I'd go. It was so lively, black church. Everyone was hooting and hollering, and it was going to be like a 3-hour thing. So I was like, okay. And then this guy came out after everyone had done their singing, and he looked a little bit like Will Smith. And I was like, wow. And then he said an altar call for people who don't, you know, for sick people. And went, you know what? I'm kind of shy. And so I thought, okay, I'm new. Nobody knows me. Yes, there's a camera there, but I'm going to go to this altar call. So I went in the corner, tried to hide behind somebody else, you know, and I went in the corner, and I expected them to come along just like every other thing I had ever seen, very much very quiet, going, you know, put their hands on them and pray over them and just be very calm and just so not what happened. So I was in the line, and I looked around, and I see these ushers. Fortunately, they started with my corner, because I had gone kind of in the corner, and there was like 2 or 3 people before me. And I was like, what are those ushers doing in the back of that person? And Will Smith comes out. He's not Will Smith. And he lays his hands on, oh, hallelujah! Bam! And the first person goes down and crumbles. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And I got scared. I was like, what do I do? Oh no, this is, like, what the heck did I just do? And then I saw, oh, this is, bam, second person goes down. Oh no, I was like, okay, calm down. I can't run, because that would be stupid. That'd be so stupid. Can you imagine a whole church full of black people seeing a white lady run away from an altar call? That would be really stupid. It's like, okay, calm down. You have a degree in biology. Nothing's going to happen to you. You'll be fine. And then the person right next to you, bam, they go down. I'm like, oh no, what have I done? And I'm there, and in my mind, I think, what is this? And he actually answered me. He's like, it's the Holy Ghost. And his hand goes on my head. Bam. And it's like this wave just rushed into me. It was unbelievable. And the freaky thing is, something started coming out of me. And it started coming out of like my nerves. And as I was falling down, I couldn't stop myself from falling. I honestly assumed it was just going to be pushed and I would have to pretend or something. I collapsed, and something left my body. For first of all, my body was twitching uncontrollably. I couldn't move. I was like, okay, I'm on the floor. I can't get up. I'm on the floor. Get up. And my brain couldn't comprehend what had just happened. And I kind of like lobbed my head over. Okay, they're on the floor. Okay, calm down. Stay on the floor for a while. Move your arm. Okay, my arm's not moving. My body would not respond. And the second thing is, oh my gosh, what was that? How did it get there? And oh my gosh, how do I make sure it doesn't come back? What the hell? And so I lie there and I'm like, okay, just calm down. You're on the floor. Be okay with being on the floor. And I looked up and I see this is, I fixated on this tiny window way up high. I'm thinking, how did they clean that window? As my body's just twitching around. Finally, I can get up. And he's all the way at the end of the line, and there must have been, I don't know how many people in line, but I just start crying. I don't know. And this big black lady comes by, hands me some tissue, and she goes, ooh, girl, you were delivered for something big. And I'm like, I know. I just was crying and crying. And then for days and days and days, I was just filled with this overwhelming sense of peace, fulfillment, joy, comfort. It was amazing. My friends, they're like, oh, it's kind of like I ate a cupcake or something. It was like no big deal. I was in the back going, oh my gosh, I felt like I was on drugs. I was in the back, oh, I feel so great. Oh my gosh, I feel so awesome. This is, why doesn't everyone get this? Why can't everyone do this? And they were in the front, la la la, what are we going to have for lunch? Life-changing experience back here. Hello. I went back and I told my mom. I told my sister. And I think I maybe told one or two other people. And that's it. It's not just the being, having something come into me, that rush of the Holy Spirit or, you know, the Holy Spirit or whatever, but it's also having something leave me to be delivered from something. I'm like, when I never knew something was there. Now I work with engineers. I work with data. I work with, I work with data. And I analyze things and do spreadsheets and charts and stuff like that. Who am I going to tell? Who is open enough to hear? I was delivered in a black church because I was gullible and stupid. I just wandered into it just because, you know, I wasn't even thinking and I just wandered into this experience. I'm very logical. A lot of things happen, like in my childhood, to make me really need to know what happens A to B to C. If I can't follow that, then it doesn't make sense to me. And when things don't make sense to me, then I don't like it. And so to have something like that obviously not make sense to me. But it happened. I'm grateful it happened. And during bad times, it's awesome because it was such an amazing feeling afterwards, feeling so loved. I had a very hard childhood, and it was very a hostile environment. So I was raised very hypervigilant. Like, you always had to make sure you were safe. And when you're raised as a child that way, you become very twitchy. I couldn't sleep. And in crowds, I have problems. If I'm in a big crowd, I can get panic attacks. And all the bad things just kind of melted away for days. And it was amazing. And I thought, oh my gosh, if this was a drug, everyone would line up all over the world for this. Oh my gosh, why don't more people do this? Everyone would be so much happier. My dad, when I was about 9, developed paranoid schizophrenia. And so what has a religious component to it, which really means that's really why I need to be A to B to C. It has to make sense to me because so many things in my childhood didn't make sense. So I had to kind of throw it away. And from, you know, if your primary caregiver doesn't make sense, as a child, you had to figure it out for yourself. He used to see angels. He used to talk to God all the time. So they keep saying God is a dad, a father. Well, when your own father's parent is schizophrenic, kind of makes you unnerved. It's like God's going to hurt you. I was afraid that I was going to go insane, like my dad did. But then I had to learn later, you know, obviously that's just the child in me, you know. It's the child's way of looking at paranoid schizophrenia, that you get too close to God, you go crazy. I always knew God was there. I just didn't necessarily want to be close to him because, like I said, I had that fear. Because I find that the closer I am, the more I have to feel my feelings. And sometimes it's easier just to be unplugged and to have to go through things. I excelled in a few things. I excelled in like philosophy and English and stuff like that. But science, I'm like, man, I really have to study this. And that's why I got into it, because I had to study it. To be scientific to me means to be logical. And if you have a hypothesis, you better be able to back it up with experimentation and you know, whatever. And if it doesn't make sense, then it's not true. And, you know, how can I'm not going to tell people. Let's go back to how are you going to tell? Who can you tell? I was possessed by something and I didn't know it was there. How do I make sure it doesn't come back? What do I do? And they're going to be like, ooh. I felt something leave my body. I felt, and that pressure, that feeling of tiredness went away. It was gone. So what does that mean? All chronic fatigue syndrome is the devil? That's a joke. That feeling I had, if that's even a sliver of what it's like to be closer to God, it's amazing. After that experience and around that time of experience, I became very much like a church lady. Did my tithing and everything like that. Listened to all Jesus music. I read the whole Bible. Doing Bible studies, praise and worship music. I mean, I was just constantly just filling my brain with this Jesus stuff all the time. Who said that? Religion is the opiate of the masses? It is kind of a high. It does. It makes you feel happy. It made me feel calm and happy until I got really upset, and now it just makes me cry. After my sister's accident, the way the church acted, the horrible stress, my losing my health was so horrible, I am no longer a church lady. So my sister was involved in a hideous car accident and ended up having to take care of her for 3.5 years. Somebody hit her head on and the motor crushed her legs. And some Hispanics came out with like claw hammers and got her out because the Bronco that hit her caught on fire. And they all thought she was going to burn to death. And the guy who hit her got him and his friend out and didn't help at all. And just sat on the side of the road and wouldn't even look at her. I had to hear her crying about that for years. Why wouldn't he look at me? I'm not worth it. Why, you know. She is permanently disabled from because of her legs were crushed by the motor. And I mean, the ooze coming out. It was a nightmare. And now she's experiencing such severe depression that she's just a shell. She's not even there. So is work, come back, take care of my sister. For 3.5 years. It was all chaos, all the time. She was combative, she was hallucinating, because apparently she got a bruise on her brain or something. And I would be in church crying by myself, and somebody out of the blue would come up, a deacon, like a wife, come up, Satan's really stolen your joy. She said, what? And my sister might die. Why are you, and I'm crying, and instead of hugging me, you're criticizing me? And then another person who knew my sister and worked with her in Sunday school, why would we help your sister? Your sister never reached out to anybody, so she's reaping what she's sowing. When she said that, I slammed my books down and I was ready. I was like, so you only help people who deserve it? I mean, even I went to a Pentecostal church in the area and they said, because I don't speak in tongues, I don't have the Holy Spirit. So judgy. It's so wrong. So, I mean, and so I'm going, okay, why am I associating with these people? They're all wrong. Not all of them, but these people who are talking to me are wrong. I was really deeply rooted with them. And as soon as something happened, suddenly it's like, oh, what did they do to deserve that? What open doorways to Satan did they have in their life? The stress killed so much in my body. I ended up with autoimmune diseases. So now I'm tired. And that's not the devil. They had to take out my thyroid, you know. I have rheumatoid arthritis now, and I'm just tired. I didn't realize this at the time, but I was so stressed out, and I was on immune suppressants at the time, that I ended up with shingles. It's kind of like when you have the flu, or you have a cold, and your immune system goes into attack mode, and you get tired to go to sleep, because it wants to attack. But my immune system thinks I am the foreign whatever. And so it's in attack mode. And there's nothing to attack but me. Finally, she was able to walk enough where she could do her own laundry and cook herself some food. And I was like, I have to leave. So, because when somebody's in that much of extreme pain and that smart, they can make your life a living hell. And you have to take care of them while they're making your life a living hell. For 3.5 years. So now it's like just trying to enjoy a quiet life and just calm down and recover. I was destined for a wheelchair and morphine or OxyContin and like and disability. And now look at me. I'm working and It's a smaller life than I want. I want a bigger life. But for now, it's better than what I had. And you know, it's bigger than, a lot bigger than what I had. I couldn't even walk from my couch to my kitchen. All I can pretty much do is take care of myself, take care of my cat, go to work. Which is pretty cool. A lot of people didn't know how on the edge I was. And if they knew, they would have treated me a little differently. And so nowadays, when I see people, you don't know what they're going through. So maybe you shouldn't be the thing that really is their last straw. And so in my opinion, kindness is the most important thing. I miss having a ministry of love. I miss a lot of things that I lost. But one of the things that I didn't lose is the fact that I got a sense of what it's like to be closer to God. And it is phenomenal. And nothing missing, nothing broken. No feelings of loss or anger or need or anything. I just felt completely whole. And who feels that way? I want that. It's addicting. I would definitely say with my dad, with this experience, with all the experiences in the church, I have a very complicated relationship with God and with the church. I just try to do it with love and understanding because, you know, we're all here just for a short time. So got to try to make each day count, you know. That's all.